I call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skrouse.
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Is there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record. Appreciate it.
Pete Kosovich, 8170 South 28th Street. Just looking at tonight's agenda, I'm glad to see that it looks like we're going to go forward with the Ryan Creek Interceptor. It's something that we've been hoping for a long time, to develop the southwest corridor of Franklin. Also glad to see that the TIF is going to be finishing up later this year so that we can provide some tax relief to the city. So hopefully you guys will make good decisions. I trust you. I'm sure you will.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wesolowski.
Only that from past experience, the State Elections Division advises local municipalities that whenever a candidate for office stands up and speaks and says a comment, that should be noted for the audience. And Mr. Kosovich is a candidate, so noted.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Scott Rabinski, 9720 South 112th Street. I'm here to talk about the intersect myself. It is slated to go down my property, which is about a half a mile. I'm not opposed to this, but I am opposed to tearing down the tree line that has been slated for the line. It could go to the south of my property without a problem. There are some wetlands that are under consideration right now for where this line has to go. I'm willing to work with the city and everybody else to make sure this goes down my driveway where we can protect the wetlands. These wetlands were created by drain tiles, and I've looked at them today, and I've measured the areas out. So I do not want to see my tree line destroyed for this. The south of my property would be ideal. You have marked it. I've been all over it and talked to everybody. Just opposed to my tree line being tore down for this intersect. But I am in favor of the intersect, okay?
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Ted Grinches, 7562 South Nottingham Way in Franklin. I am here for agenda item number 7, also with about the TIF district. I'm going to send you all an email, and I'd like to read it into the record. It has always been the goal of the Economic Development Commission, Community Development Authority, and County Council to grow the commercial tax base in the city of Franklin with the objective to reduce the property tax burden of Franklin's residential taxpayers. My understanding always was and still is that the tax benefits derived from the tax base growth of Industrial Park Phase 2, which was the initial focus of the Economic Development Commission in the 80s and early 90s, and the Franklin Business Park, which is funded, TIF District Number 2, which was put together in the early 90s. That the taxes that would be derived from that would be returned to taxpayers in the form of relative lower taxes. Additional residential and other sources of commercial growth would fund additional future needs of the city of Franklin. So my recommendation is that the city not use these tax funds that become available from TIF District Number 2 to grow spending, but to use it instead to balance or lower current expenditures to keep property taxes level. So that's one item. I also like to just comments on the things that are going on in the state, the state level with Governor Walker. As County Exec, Scott Walker did an awful lot for us in the city of Franklin, I believe helped some of you with your elections. And I listened to his budget presentation today in which he is planning to do many things that are very dependent on the repair bill being passed, and having the community of the city of Franklin vote overwhelmingly for governor for Scott, I would suggest that it would be very helpful to the many of us that supported this that either the council or the mayor or somebody communicate with the state saying that we, the taxpayers of the citizens, support this, and you being the representatives of us, the taxpayers, in helping clarify and help him out with that particular objective.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Lutz Wolkettle, 7535 Mission Hills Court. I'm basically here, basically with the gentleman before me, talking about what the governor's doing with the state employees and the things I hear on the radio as far as cities and doing these last-minute deals with teachers or city workers or whatever it is. I am just here, and I've been here 20 years, never had a problem, but I'm going to start speaking up. I hope you as alderman and the mayor think about us as taxpayers. I don't know if there's any contracts that are up, if there's any of these deals, or the school board can do something with the teachers here to sneak something to before perhaps the governor's relief can help me as a taxpayer. I've been in a union member for a long time until I joined the management ranks, negotiated several contracts. I know their side of the story. I have friends who are cops. My neighbors are teachers. Just retired at age 55 a couple years ago. God bless her. But this has got to stop. Me as a taxpayer, I don't want my taxes to go up. The governor is telling all the municipalities, including Franklin, you are going to have money taken away. And he's going to be giving you the tool to get money back from the employees of the city, because you're not going to get it from the taxpayer. I couldn't believe what he said today. He's going to be capping, I think, the what the municipalities can go after the taxpayers for. I was like, the governor is actually going to help us, protect us from our local city officials. I guess what I'm trying to say is we all have friends that are public employees. One of my best friends, we stood up at each other's wedding. He's a cop in another municipality, same age as me, 50 years old. He retired last year. God bless him. But this has got to stop. And I hope that, I know the firemen and the policemen are protected, but I hope when their contracts come up that you still go after them and have them start paying their fair share of what I pay. Where I work, it's 18% toward our health care. So I'm just here as a concerned citizen, kind of a griping here, that you be fiscally responsible for the city. I know you have friends there, but you are responsible for the city and for the taxpayers, not so much your friends maybe you work with every day as policemen, firemen, city officials, teachers, whatever it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue in Franklin. I guess I have a little different take on this than a lot of people in Franklin, because I do not support the governor and his refusal to negotiate with the unions. And it is a refusal to negotiate. He has set down a mandate, and they will either accept it, or it's my way or the highway is what he's actually telling them. And so, as everybody up there knows what I used to do, I was an international representative for my union for 20 years. And I believe that the governor should be charged with failure to negotiate. And I believe that the unions probably could win this, because he has said flatly, I will not negotiate, quote, unquote, I will not negotiate. Now, that's the first thing I want to say. I think the governor is wrong. Secondly, I would like to talk about, I think it's number 6 and 7 on the agenda, and that's about giving some of the money back with regards to taxes. I think everybody remembers during the 90s when times were good and money was flowing, taxes were being received, and nobody saved any money for a rainy day. And then we were beginning to come out of the national deficit in 1999 and 2000. And then in 2001, President Bush at that time then and that administration decided we were going to get for each citizen in the United States, what was it, $250 or $300, one or the other, per person. And so that set us back $16 billion $16 trillion. I think, I don't remember how much it was, but it set us back. And that put the United States then back towards a deficit situation. Now, that's what's going to happen here in Franklin, and it's illegal, as you know, for Franklin to incur a debt, a deficit, I mean. And so for us to give that money back and not save it for a rainy day, I think is short-sighted. I don't think it is the right thing to do. I realize what the money was intended for, but I don't, my understanding is, now I could be wrong on this, but my understanding is that that money does not have to be given back, right, at least right now. And so let us save that money in case we need it, because if we spend it, send it back, do the same foolish mistake that President Bush did in 2001, then we're going to have to, something's going to have to give. We're either going to have to raise taxes or something. And so I'm willing to do my share on anything. And everybody knows that I pay my taxes like everybody else. I own my own home, and I've lived here in, for 26 years in Franklin. And I've never failed to pay my taxes. But you guys up there better look at this very seriously when you think about giving this money back, because we don't have to do it, and we shouldn't do it. We had need to save that money for a rainy day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mike Bartles. I live at 9059 West Hawthorne Lane in Franklin. I sent an email to all of you for whom I had an email address late this afternoon, and I, too, would like to read it into the record. It's quite brief. Having a combined service of 25-plus years in the Economic Development Commission and the Community Development Authority, EDC-CDA, I'm knowledgeable of both the history and the reasoning that drove commercial development in this community. Around 1963, Mayor Fadwell appointed me to the EDC. He asked me at that time to take on the task of educating elected officers, members of the EDC Commission, and residents regarding the benefits of TIF financing. Since that time, and especially when presenting the business park to public and elected officials, the promise was always tax relief for residential taxpayers. I respectfully request that you and the CDA keep that promise. With regard to the situation in Madison, I would just point out to this august body that I have the results of the November election, and 35% of the residents of Franklin supported Mayor Barrett, and 63.47% of the residents of this community supported Scott Walker. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm John Nepentek at 10233 West Ryan Road. I'm talking about the Ryan Creek Interceptor. Zeke recalled our last meetings. I attended the meeting. I didn't know if I was going to be a property owner in the path of it. I met with the engineer from Malke, Joe Eberle, and what I found out was that the county ground is does not provide easement rights for this project as it come on my property. I'm a farmer that farms a lot of the property on that area, and I'm not comfortable with the project. I looked up what was wrote or written in the hub or the post section of the paper, I think it was, the newsletter, and it said that it was given approval by the Plan Commission and the Board of Public Works. I just feel that what was said in there is that 2017, MMSD would buy it back. But what I question is a lot of you people won't be here then. You approved it, but then when it comes into being a taxable force by them, the people in the district, we won't be able to come for you for answers. So with that being said, with me being a property owner on this property, farming it, being a representative of Farm Bureau, a lot of the land that's imposed in that property is prime farmland in Milwaukee County. We should preserve it. I've actually inquired about an eminent domain attorney to fight this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Dora Sargent, 8861 South 35th Street. I came to this meeting because it was advertised in the Now section as the recreation public hearing on Franklin's comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. I hope that will be covered tonight as it was stated here. Thank you.
You will, ma'am. Yes.
Suzanne Mayer, 9733 West Ryan Road. Here to talk about the Ryan Creek Interceptor. Scott couldn't be here. He's out of town, but we want to let you know that we both understand your views about how the project is good for the citizens of Franklin and its residents financially, but some concerns that we have are that, you know, with the cutbacks that are coming from the state in 2017, is MMSD really going to have the funding to pay for this? They can't even pay for what's actually broken up there, and that's one of our concerns. It is good for Franklin residents in general, but for us as individuals, on a large property, we don't feel as though it's good for us. One of the concerns that we have is that it's not 100% guaranteed that the property is going to go back to the way it is right now. You can't make a 40-foot hole across our property and guarantee that the water table is going to stay the same and that kind of thing. So, you know, flooding and everything is what we're concerned about. There's no benefit to us as far as hooking up to the hooking up to it. And because of that, our concern is that we're also going to be not only affected physically by this thing coming through our property, but also taxed sewer from MMSD. And a quote that I had earlier tonight was sooner than later. And we would hope that concessions would be made to at least the property owners already being disturbed by the mess that this is going to be all summer long or whenever this happens, that we at least be not taxed to. Scott and I understand both sides very well. We would have liked more communication from all of you and had expressed that to a few of you, but don't really feel as though that happened. We understand our neighbors' feelings on this issue, and all of this should be taken into consideration. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Hi, Scott Finnis, 7937 West Beacon Hill Drive. I'm here to talk about G7, I believe it is, the TIF district. First, I appreciate Mr. Bartles and Mr. Grinch's coming in and giving their point of view, being that they were firsthand people involved in the development and planning of that TIF district and have that firsthand knowledge. With that said, I'm going to, again, and you know, I've talked here the last 2 months ago or so on this matter, and again, I'm going to read the TIF district objectives here that are stated in the plan. I think this is important. Tax increment district number 2 of the city of Franklin is created primarily to promote industry as authorized by Wisconsin statutes, to provide greater employment opportunities, to broaden the property tax base, and to relieve the tax burden of residents and homeowners. Every one of those pretty much has been fulfilled. We have a pretty successful TIF out there, except for the tax relief. All of the increment, all these years, have been used to provide payment on the bonds that were taken out to do that district. Also during that 17 years, the taxpayers have taken on a burden of covering what those tax increments would have paid for in terms of the expenses in the city. The departments at City Hall, the plowing of the streets, the fire department that's built out there, all of those other things have fallen as an expense to the taxpayers. So I think they're due some tax relief. Now, at the last meeting, this was sent to the Finance Committee. I was a little confused as to why that happened because I didn't really see the reasoning behind that. These are policy decisions that need to be made. I attended the Finance Committee meeting, or most of it, a couple weeks ago. There was a lot of talk, and it was a lot of detail stuff. What do we assign this to? Is this general fund expenditure? Is this rotating equipment funds? You know, it got into a lot of this fine stuff, but that's what they do. But that's not what this is about. To me, this is about two things. Promises made being promises kept. And transparency. Those two things. Nobody is saying, I don't think anybody's expecting this TIF money to be put in little bags and the taxpayers come in and get their $3.24 back. I think everybody realizes that this council has not only they have an obligation to do a budget and to balance that budget. Transparency is the issue. Nobody's saying the money can't be spent, but when you spend it, it should be spent in front of the taxpayers. They should know what it's being spent on. TIF money shouldn't disappear into some accounting page and nobody knows where it went, what it was spent on. Okay? It needs to be done every dollar in front of the taxpayers. This money can still be spent and come back as tax relief because the spending is taxpayer money in the first place. Transparency is the issue. I would suggest this money be accounted for the same way it has been for the last 17 years as increment from a TIF. You guys do your budget the way you've always done. No consideration given to the TIF money. Budgets are set. Levy is set. Mill rates assigned. There's an increase in taxes of X percent. Increment money comes back in, buys down that levy. You got a 7% tax increase some year? Citizens know that. But then you guys get a glory moment too. We're reducing that levy by $1 million too. Now your tax increase is only 6% or 5% or 5%, whatever. Okay. It's about transparency. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during this comment period? Yes, sir.
My name is Joe Holterman. Speaking on behalf of my father, Earl Holterman, at 8032 West Oakwood Road. Just wanted to make it known, like I did 2 weeks ago, that he is not in favor of the Ryan Creek Interceptor. He will not be signing the easement. And he also, like John DePintek, has contacted an eminent domain lawyer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen's comment period?
Hi, Basil Ryan, 5250 West South County Line Road. As one of the probably far-end residents of this city that you can get, I find it interesting that the city now wants to run an intercept sewer in the area for development, when right now, as history would show us and demonstrate, we have several developers that are on the verge of bankruptcy because they push for development. We have a lot of retail development that stands empty. Those have a reflection back on the city, where people look that are entertaining the thought of coming in and bringing their businesses. When they see that, that hurts the image. You are now going to create an area to allow further development when we haven't dealt with the development that we currently have. Times with the governor, with his proposals, are also pulling back money. You're now expecting taxpayers to fund another project where recently, through negotiations, and I haven't been privy to all of that, but a big section of that area through the negotiations with waste management is going to allow you to have additional parkland. That was something that wasn't figured into your planning at the time because of that. I haven't seen any figures other than comments by the mayor, which reflects older reports as the Tickner and the other ones that Mr. Bartle is familiar with, and Mr. Grinch's. We haven't had any new plans on what that area can literally generate or promote. We have had developers that have come in and wanted to develop those areas using septic systems, mound systems, which other communities have done successfully. Something like that would also keep the heritage of this community. And it wouldn't cost the taxpayers because, as you realize, once you start putting those improvements in their sewer, it seems like, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, the county and the state is not going to give us money to develop the roads to there. Taxpayers are going to have to do that. And if you end up with land that sits idle and you can't develop it, don't forget, we have a nice dump. We get subsidized for it. but there's also an odor associated with that dump that everyone is aware of. So what are you really going to promote to put in there for that type of return on your dollar? Any business person is going to look at those returns. I have yet to see anyone furnish those. I've yet to see a dollar amount that what it's totally going to cost, the return on the taxpayers' dollars on how long it's going to take to recover that cost, and the type of businesses that are going to be in there to generate that. When I can tell you right now, we've got a lot of empty buildings that people gambled their fortunes, their reputations, and their companies on. And some of those people are losing. And some of them, it's sorry to say, if they had to do it over again, wouldn't make those. So I just can't understand what the push is at this critical time in cuts to say we want to take another leap into an area that we don't have to. Why do we want to make a commitment of taxpayers' dollars when we hear from the audience how this community has been suffering? The value of homes haven't gone up. They've gone down. We have projects as far as condos that are sitting there that banks own that are trying to give away, not sell, literally give away, and still it's not. What incentive is there that's driving us to develop an area that for years has sat idle and hasn't cost taxpayers a dime, but yet now we have this push that we need this additional, come they will build it? Well, let me tell you, down the street, there's a whole strip of malls across from Wyndham Hills. It was built. I don't see them coming. They're trickling in, but so are companies trickling out. In reference to the TIF district, I respect the many battles that I had with two gentlemen that spoke earlier here. I would hope that they prove me wrong and that those tax dollars do come back to the benefit of the taxpayers and that they end up being put where they promised to put them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to item C, approval of minutes, approval of regular meeting of February 15th, 2011. I guess there was an announcement, Mr. Bennett, about sirens for tomorrow that you wanted to just quickly make.
Yes, we will be testing sirens tomorrow. There will be some siren noise, so I just wanted to get it out to as many people as I can. It's probably going to start sometime after 11:30, and they're going to do a test on the four sirens. You don't need to take any shelter. This is a mechanical test on the sirens. But they normally don't test sirens except on the second Wednesdays at noon, but these are our new sirens, and they have to be tested before that. So you will hear some siren noises in the next day or two.
On the minutes of February 15th, 2011.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is hearings. Item 1, public hearing regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate updated changes to the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, including but not limited to updated population and demographic information, parkland inventory, and proposed future park sites. Mr. Deedle?
The public hearing on the park plan is required if we wish to include the park plan as part of the comprehensive master plan. By state statute, we would have to hold this public hearing. The park plan is an update of the plan that was previously approved by the Common Council back in 2002. The reasons to update the park plan include maintaining the city's eligibility to apply for stewardship and other grants that the state has for park acquisition and development. Information in that park plan is also beneficial to impact fee calculations and updating that information, and is also beneficial from the standpoint that it does further the recommendations in the Comprehensive Master Plan. There were some recommendations in that plan to do some further studies, investigations, and that's included in this park plan. So again, it's an update to the current park plan the city has. It's required as a public hearing if we want to include this as part of the comprehensive master plan, and the common council decision and action on this matter is up to them, and staff does have a presentation and recommendation that we could provide after the public hearing if you wish.
Okay. If there's no objection, I'm going to ask the clerk to read the public notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, March 1st, 2011 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate updated changes to the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, including but not limited to updated population and demographic information, parkland inventory, and proposed future park sites. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Wisconsin Statute Section 66.1001-4D. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate the proposed updated changes to the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, together with the draft of the updated plan, is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall and Franklin Public Library during normal business hours. In addition, the draft ordinance is available for review at the City of Franklin's website. Any questions or comments about the proposed amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan may be directed to Joel Deedle, City of Franklin Planning Manager.
Okay, I'm going to open this up, item D1, hearings for the public and for any citizens who wish to speak on it. Is there any citizen wishing to speak regarding during the public hearing? Yes, sir. If you could please come forward, please state your name and address for the record. Appreciate it.
My name is Mike Bartles. I live at 9059 West Hawthorne Lane. In the newsletter that we received from you folks in December, there was a listing of the parks that we already have, and I'd like to point out the fact that we already have 37 parks. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn back to Mr. Deedle's offer to make a presentation.
Yes. I can go into a little bit more detail, and then I'm willing to take questions. A couple things came up in the today, so I'll touch on those first. Alderman Wilhelm had some comments and suggestions. We have gone over a lot of those today. I believe most of them are minor technical and would be comfortable making those changes if the Common Council wishes to take action. And if there were some changes that we didn't believe were minor and technical, I believe we would bring them back for Common Council review before we would make those changes. The other comment or piece of information that came in today, there is or was a petition from some citizens proposing to do a project or development ball fields at the Ferming Park area, 51st and Putes, southwest corner. We do have a statement in the current plan, the draft plan, that says that we are aware that there is a group of citizens trying to work on a plan for that area, and if that plan would be approved by the parties that are involved, it would be and should be reflected in the park plan. So right now we're not saying one way or the other. We're saying that if it is approved by all the affected parties, it should be in the park plan. So we are covering it from that standpoint.
There was one individual that got up during the public hearing, Mr. Bartles, and commented that I think we already have 37 parks.
Right.
Given that the staff of the city put this together along with Patrick Meehan, I think, from
he did the original, and then we've incorporated as much of that as we could into this one.
Any comments regarding that?
We believe we kept in the forefront of our thoughts this entire process that the economy is not in the best shape and the budget's not in the best shape. The additional parks that we're proposing, I believe two parks, three trails, four trails, It is very modest. Population has increased 10% since the last plan, only 10 years ago. Population is envisioned to increase another 15 to 20% between now and the year 2025. If the southwest part of the city would fully develop, that population increase would be even greater. These plans do envision looking a minimum of 5 years into the future, up to 20 years into the future. So that coincides very well with the Comprehensive Master Plan, which also envisioned the eventual development of the southwest part of the city. So if we wish to maintain a park and open space system for all the areas of the city which would develop within the next 5 to 20 years, this park plan is needed. The additional recommendations in this park plan would be needed. We tried, and I believe we did, look at all the standards and criteria as closely as we could to be as constrained in our recommendations as we could. The simplest way to explain it is most of the city has a system of parks, a combination of larger regional parks and smaller neighborhood parks and very small mini parks. Southwest part of the city, we're only proposing one park. We're hoping that would be enough for as far in the future, beyond 20 years, as we can stretch it. But if you wanted to take the standards hard and fast, we should be proposing a whole system of parks for the southwest, a combination of large parks and small parks. So we believe we tried to be as considerate of these constraints as possible. And it is a long-range plan, so it is looking as far in the future as possible. Hopefully, after the economy improves, the plan would still be adequate.
What is the projected population at build-up City of Franklin?
If the full city would develop, I believe it's 57,000.
And it's 34 now, about?
Correct. And the last thing is the plan recognizes throughout the plan that the Common Council has a final say on the implementation of the plan. History has shown that the Common Council has been cautious in the implementation of the 2002 plan. There was a lot of recommendations in that plan that still have not been implemented. This plan and staff recognize that that situation will continue, that all the recommendations in this plan will not be implemented until the Common Council wants to implement them. So the combination of that control at the council level and this plan being long-term, hopefully lasting well beyond the recovery of the economy, makes this plan still good, still viable.
Alderman Taylor and then Alderman Schmidt.
How much did this plan cost?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Total? City portion, $25.4 million.
No. How much did it cost to do the plan?
Staff, all in-house.
All in-house? How long did it take you to do it?
Almost a year.
Why do we have to do a brand new one?
Again, to maintain eligibility for those state grants, to hopefully implement or update impact fees, and to follow through with the recommendations in the Comprehensive Master Plan.
Thank you. Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Wilhelm, and then Alderman Olson.
These would all be strictly city-funded parks as part of our comprehensive plan. I was wondering what percentage of these 34 parks that we have in Franklin are the domain of the county. Is there an interaction with these other parks that we're planning, or is this not going to be any county involved with this?
The cost, that the $25.4 million that I mentioned before, would be the city's estimated cost. The 30-some parks, I was trying to rack my brain for the actual numbers, and I'm not sure. But, yes, most of those would be city, county, and school district. But the city is a fair share of that, too. Off the top of my head, unless staff is going to correct me, 15 or city, so about half. The park plan has only a few recommendations that directly impact other units of government. We are proposing to share the development and acquisition of one of the parks, the Southwest Park, with the county, and share the development of one of the parks next to the middle school with the school district. But because we don't have direct control over their actions, the park plan doesn't go into very much detail about their parks. We forward the recommendations from their plans into this plan. So it's mostly about the city. The inventory includes county and school district. And in a few instances where we thought there was a particularly high probability of a cooperative arrangement, we talked about something that would cost them. But generally, it's about the city.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
Well, first I'd like to give you a little bit of input on, from my point of view, on how I ended up reviewing this document. The first draft was given to me not too long ago. I'd been asking for it because there's some major park development that was going to be in the 3rd District, and I wanted to get that information out and discuss it with some of the residents who had concerns about that. I was not able to get that. I went to both planning meetings. The document wasn't available at either one of those meetings. When I finally did get the draft plan, I started to go through it and make corrections and started a Word document that I put together for staff so I could get my comments. I also attended the Plan Commission meeting the previous Thursday and made some comments there. And I did note that my comment is sort of mentioned on this council agenda regarding renaming the Central Park, which would locate it out by the landfill. And I said, my comment was that it isn't a central location, and it should be named something else. And it was renamed, according to this, as Southwest Park. But it doesn't say that I recommended that if we did a park, it should be central to the city. So only half of my comment was reflected in this. After that meeting, I got, I think it was, I start working more on going through it. I was up to Chapter 5 when I went in on Sunday night to get my council packet and found a new draft of the document, which caused me to have to start completely over. I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night, was sure I was going to get through the complete plan and meet with staff to try to get them. So I wouldn't have my eyes rolling when I started to go through my my marked up pages. I did meet with staff, and most of these are minor, very minor corrections, things that might make it flow better, like we talked about the use of the word set forth is on a page 6 times in some pages, and I offered some suggestions to make it a more user-friendly and document. Little things like that. Other things are inaccuracies of acreages and mentions of conservation easements on properties that aren't there. Missing natural features that are mentioned when you're bullet pointing parks, and some things like that. None of them are real huge items, but I still have not made it completely through all of this. I've only pretty much all through it, but I'm very uncomfortable voting completely on this, given the fact that I have not. And it would just be wrong for me as an older person to say, I'm going to vote yes on this when I know I haven't read through the packet. And I can't believe as much time as an effort as I put into this document that everybody up here is out on this council, other than Alderman Solomon, who was on the Park Commission from the beginning, has had the opportunity. So at minimum, I would either like to see a table for 2 weeks for the next council meeting so these items can be addressed. The ones that are more than minor, if needed to be brought back to the council for approval. Or I would concede to the fact that we could pass a motion that would allow these comments to be put in here and those brought back. But I still want to make sure that I get all of my comments, which means I need to have the time to continue reading the rest of the document. And there's now in front of me tonight pops up another document from with 400 and some signatures that have 70 some comments that I haven't had a chance to read. And these are the people that are talking about wanting a Central Park. And as Mr. Bartles mentioned, we already have a lot of parks, and one of my comments was, the people in this community have been talking about a larger park for a long time, a community center, something to draw the community together, have a sense of community. We have no downtown. We have no centralized area. And I think that's what this, from what I briefly read, this petition is addressing. And I guess when I'm looking through this document, I'm thinking, if we saved all the money that we're putting into the mini parks and those parks, couldn't we come up with something that could pull our community together and have a central area that maybe could have mixed-use development, and maybe it would encourage a city center and encourage maybe even some nearby restaurants, so when people drop their child off at the ballpark, they can go next door and get something to eat while they're waiting for them. I think that's what's missing in our community. And it's great to have all these little circular areas and everybody gets this little tot lot, but I was wondering if anyone has done even just a Google aerial about how many tot lots people have. In today's age, most people have some sort of tot lot in their backyard. And we spend a lot of money and a lot of money on maintenance on those things, a lot of money on structures. And you pointed out the need for how many more of those type of parks. And I guess I would like to see the community say as a whole, do we want to continue with little parks everywhere, or do we want one central park? One central idea, centralized in the city or not? I'm ready. You can address that. I do have maybe a few more things, but...
The comment I'd make, I guess, via in regard to the central park. That was the term that we were using originally for the Southwest Park. And the reason I used that term, and I think I borrowed it from somewhere, so it's not my term. The idea behind that was to provide a larger park where citywide events could occur. And staff did an analysis of how much acreage would be needed to do that. And one of those events would be civic celebration, but also ball fields, open spaces, natural resources as well. Based on all those uses or facilities, came up with an acreage of 200 to 250 acres. Again, if you wanted to do all those types of activities in one location, the idea being that you wanted to get as much use out of that park as you could, and if you wanted to do citywide events, you needed some elbow room. 250 acres, and I've done some analysis and did some review at different sites. There are no other sites that meet all the kinds of issues that I could think of. The best one got closest and still wasn't perfect was the Southwest Park. One of the factors, for instance, was it centrally located? And the Southwest Park is not. But does it have the adequate acreage? Yes, it did. Some of the other sites I was looking at didn't. And those sites included 51st and Putes. So again, the idea behind that park was multiple services and providing that elbow room. Another criteria that we looked at, for instance, was conflicts with adjacent properties. A lot of these other sites have development immediately adjacent to them. If you tried to put a citywide event like the Civic Celebration in a place that it hadn't been before, there could be land use conflicts, neighbor conflicts, that kind of stuff. If we identified ahead of time at a place that isn't developed yet, like the Southwest, those conflicts would be less. So it is not centrally located, and that was one of the factors that I was looking for when I was trying to find a place. But of all the factors that I looked at, this Southwest came the closest. But again, the whole premise of this park plan is implementation by the Common Council. If the Common Council chooses not to move Civic Celebration from where it is today, the need for that large Southwest park decreases. If the City Common Council chooses not to provide as many ball fields and recreation areas, that size can decrease as well. And that, I believe, is already fully set forth in that park plan, that we can make those changes as time goes by, or the council just not commit those resources to that site until they decide once and for all what they want there. But the flexibility is there now to do something. If there are funding sources available, we could follow through with that right away. If it's taken out entirely and a funding source becomes available, we have to amend the plan. And some of these grants are very competitive, and you might not have that time. So I believe that the flexibility still ultimately resides with the council and is partially or is fully addressed in this plan that way. So again, can something also be done at 51st and Putes? Yes. A lot of those facilities seem to me to be primarily for the school district and secondarily for the rest of the citizens. The Southwest Park would be the other way around, primarily for the citizens of the city and then secondarily for other special groups or specific groups. And then the other part would be that 51st and Putes also has a recommendation from the previous plan carried over into this plan that Community Recreation Center would be there. So again, trying to fit all three in one spot, I don't think is going to work. A Central Park, this sports complex, and the Community Recreation Center, I find it hard to believe that all three would fit there. And there are natural resources that we'd have to work around as well.
Well, it seems to me like we just continue to literally drive people away from the areas that need the type of support, the business support. And, you know, you're going to be going out driving by the landfill, and all the businesses that need support are on the other part of the city. And so people are going to be over there. What exactly are they going to be going to? Another area. They'll be heading off to another community to spend their money. I guess I have to bring back this thing about edge development, and that's what we keep doing. We keep driving people outside. And I just think this community needs the center thing to build itself on. And I realize that this is a plan that's workable and the funds are, you know, not committed until the council votes on it. So, you know, without going into all of my changes here, I will leave it up to whoever would like to make a motion, either to table it for 2 weeks, which isn't going to hurt anything. It'll give you time to do that, give me time to get my comments back, or that I be allowed to get these to you and you can make these with the city attorney's approval, and if there are major corrections, that the major corrections come back to the council.
Alderman Olson. Alderman Scranton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to what chapter I went to first?
What cost?
Then I backed up a check. Backed up to Chapter 8, which is the Community Recreation Center Building Needs Analysis, and I saw zero analysis of need. Sorry, but I didn't see it. You know, pretty soon it's going to be when we talk about this, because I've been complaining about this for ages. We want to build a building, which, by the way, is pretty nicely specified in this document, including kitchen space and staff space. And for what? $11.5 million. For what? Do we know there's a need? There may be a need. Some people want to have weddings and stuff, but nobody's documented it. Nobody's done a study, and we want to. This document does commit $11 million to it, because we all know what the standard statement is. It's in the court plan. We've got to do it. So, Chapter 8, as far as I'm concerned, dead on arrival. Chapter 9, $25 million, we take 11 and a half out, we can talk. But that's still a heck of a lot of money for green space that generates pleasurable spaces for children and people to gather, but it's a lot of money for empty space. As to the Central Park idea, being that my district butts up against Legend Park and is part of Legend Park, and the 4th of July, and a lot of my constituents are real close to the 4th of July, Tim's district right next to it. You take the 4th of July away from Legend Park, and it will die. Why do I say that? As a community, people join each other, not only in the park, but all throughout the surrounding neighborhoods, for parties, to watch the fireworks, to take time with their friends, and then come to the park. You move it to the Southwest, one, there is no community around it, right? So then you don't get the sense of community with people going to visit their neighbors and whatever. And you also spread it out. You ever been to a party in a big facility with just a few people? Nobody talks to each other. There is a benefit to having it in a smaller location. So this rush for 200 acres, God, what are we going to do with 200 acres? Give me a break. Seems to me that the plan presumes that all the baseball diamonds would be used, all the basketball facilities will be used, all the picnic aid will all be used, all at the same time. Not going to happen. So I agree with Alderman Wilhelm. Let's not rush this. Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Joel, is there a time frame on the need to approve this?
Not that we're aware of, other than impact fees. If we still have impact fees, the sooner the better, but no definitive date that I'm aware of.
I admire the work that everybody's done on this. They worked hard on it, which frankly is why I haven't spent days and days going over each page, because it changes all the time. So now I have a document that I'd like to sit and read and digest. So I'm going to make a motion to table this to the next committee of the whole meeting.
Is there a second to the motion? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Alderman Skaronski, you had your hand up before?
No, I agree
on the motion?
Not on the motion, no.
Okay. Alderman Taylor, you had your hand up.
Well,
we do have a motion on the floor.
I guess on the motion, I'm fine with it because I haven't had a chance to look at the entire thing myself, but I too went right to Chapter 9. And I did back up to Chapter 8, and I understand that we need this for, I think, grant writing, grant purposes, but $25 million, we don't have that money, and there's no way we're going to come up with it in the next 15 years. It's just not going to happen. $11 million on some big community center, that's not going to happen. We don't have the money. And no one's asking me for parks. I've said this time and time again. I've been up for almost 3 years, and nobody's asking me for parks. We have a tough time maintaining what we have, let alone add more. 37? That's enough. So I have no problem referring this off. The southwest corner as a central park. I mean, how long did it take to figure out it should be called Central Park? That's what I'm kind of laughing at up here. I mean, it is nowhere close to the central portion of the city. And to move Civic Celebration from its current location, the logistics, that ain't going to work. So I'll support referring it, but the $25 million is a completely different issue. Your Honor?
I want to kind of address something that Mr. Bartles brought up about the number of parks, and discern now that there's about 15 city parks, but there might be 37 altogether. Many of those are county parks. 51st and Putes, pretty good location. It's county-owned. It's been transferred from one department to another department. I believe, after all the discussions I've had, it's finally with Milwaukee County Parks. And I bring that up because in other municipalities, they have their central parks, but it's Milwaukee County that has built those parks and has expended their dollars. We have advocated that Milwaukee County do the same here, and I don't think we should try and or let them off the hook in not building us a, quote, central park. I would just I'd say, just to name a few, you have Wilson Park that's a center for that area. You have McGovern Park on the north side. You have Martin Luther King Park. You have Washington Park. You have McCarty Park, Grant Park, Jackson. All those parks, and they have senior facilities in it, now run by the Department on Aging, but nonetheless all county facilities. So we do have two people that are running for county executive. I would strongly advocate that all of us contact those two individuals and try and get them on the record to say what it is that they're going to do if they become the county executive for the people of Franklin. We've had a lot of debate over the years as to how many tax dollars in the city of Franklin go to Milwaukee County. It's in the tens of millions of dollars. So as I'm looking over at Alderman Solomon because he knows that I've had numerous meetings with numerous parks directors and county executives and county supervisors. And if there's ever a time for us to try and get those dollars here, it's now. So that's one. The other one is that beautiful Crystal Ridge that has been left unattended for 25 years. And I've tried to work with a million people on that one to try and beautify that. That is a county facility. And there's four municipalities who would love to see that beautified, at least even improved. That, again, I don't think we should let Milwaukee County off the hook on that. Alderman Wilhelm has another county park down by her, Grove Schmidt, that could also use some improvements. I think in, let's see, is it Alderman Solomon that has Robinwood? And that park with the closed doors and the closed building and the parking lot going to Smithereens. We've contacted the county supervisors repeatedly on that. Again, that's another park that technically we've all been paying for. The staff, is, you've heard this many times, staff is, we hire them to give us their professional opinions. When Joel brought in and said, you know, we probably should look at that place way out in the southwest as a Central Park, I went, Central Park? That's not Central. It's not Central. In fact, I've signed a petition to have the Central Park for 51st and Pews. But nonetheless, they are our urban planners, and you want their best judgments. And we as a council have ignored them quite often, and there's no reason that you cannot ignore them again. I just wanted to say that I would agree with the motion tonight to table for 2 weeks. I've been pushing this forward because of the fact that some decisions need to be made, or impact fees may need to be returned. And decisions need to be made to update, as an update, so that it justifies future impact fees if, in fact, the council wants to continue having impact fees. So all that, I mean, it's. I think all the comments are very good today. The big one that thank goodness everybody spotted, of the $25 million, 11 of that, 12 of that is a community center, right? So, and then this also goes out to a population, maybe someday, of 57,000. So these aren't decisions that need to be made today. But when you start talking about impact fees and the purchasing of land or giving them back, that's the urgency of moving this forward. So, I rest my case.
Alderman Solomon.
In Alderman's grounds.
Just so everybody understands, this park plan was updated, and it goes out to 2025. We're talking 15 years in the future, and a population estimated to be around $40,000. 15 years, 40,000 in 2025. That's what this park plan is about. Now, as we move forward, when would you like to go out and buy land? Right now when it's reasonable, or 10 years from now when it's totally unreasonable? So that we have worked, the Parks Commission, and I'm a member of the Parks Commission, we have worked diligently with Milwaukee County. Every time we get a chance to talk to them, Grove Schmidt Park needs updating. Could we spend some of our impact fee dollars in that park? Certainly we can if we get an agreement with Milwaukee County to do some additional development. What would, I'm just going to use this one as an example. A couple of tennis courts, a tot lot. Right now in the area that Kristen was talking about, there isn't anything there. Nothing on that whole side of town. So could we work with Milwaukee County? Certainly. Mayor Taylor, Crystal Ridge, Alderman Taylor, County Sports Complex, which includes that 51st Street area. There's a former alderman sitting in the back row back there that I worked with 10 years ago trying to get the county to sell us the County Sports Complex. They didn't want to. We offered them to purchase it. They didn't want to. What have they done to it since then? Nada. They put some lights on a soccer field, and that was done by private business, not the county. We'd like to grasp the county and work with them on some of these projects. Are we going to spend $11 million on a community center? No. I mean, it's there if something comes up and we have an opportunity with cooperation with business, maybe yes. But as we move forward, this is just a plan. You're up at 5,000 feet. This is what we'd like to see. This is what we'd like to see. We'd like to cooperate with the school district on a couple of the neighborhood parks that they assume from the county. Do we have dollars to work on Robinwood Park? Yeah, we could put some new basketball courts up, reseal the parking lot, whatever it takes to make that thing viable and much better. Not $25 million worth, but maybe a couple of thousand dollars to provide a more active park for the residents of the area. So this is just pie in the sky. In order to apply for grants, you need to have an updated outdoor recreation plan. In order to charge impact fees, you need an updated outdoor recreation plan. So we've got a little bit of more work to do on this. It can be tabled for 2 weeks, so everybody has an opportunity to go through it. I've gone through it 3 times now, and I still have some questions that I call staff with. But all in all, it's a document that can be used as a reference as to which direction we may want to go. That's about all.
Okay. Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I agree with Alderman Solomon on this, and I represent the 6th District, which has one park, Ken Wendell Park. The other park that is there is the Franklin Park, and that's owned by Milwaukee County. So, in essence, with the largest area of the city, we have one park. Now, realizing that the population of the city is not there, it's more in the northeastern portion and the central portion of the city. All the residents from my area, they use all the rest of these parks wherever possible. I agree that the comprehensive park plan is important to look as a vision what we could do, and that particular plan is subject to change. It could be maneuvered and adjusted according to the population and to the climate and to the economics of what's happening in this community. So it's a vision of the future. Not necessarily everything is in it is going to be solid. We do have to plan for it. Otherwise, and if we don't pass it, and I agree we should take 2 more weeks to look at it, I got mine, the last revision of this, and I haven't gone completely through it. You can only spend so much time, and then beyond that point, your eyeballs fall out of your head. So it's a matter of, yeah, let's take the time and look at it. But I think it's very important because, as Joe says, if we don't have that and don't adapt it, we do not have the ability to write grants and get matching funds or money in order to help support these things that you as the public, me as part of the public, and everybody else up here is looking at in order to utilize the park. We've been fighting, along with all the aldermen, the Milwaukee County, to get them off the dime and to do something is almost impossible. Hopefully with the change of the leadership that we have now, that maybe we can get something done. But again, it's almost like starting all over because hopefully a county exec that will be in there will be much more sensitive to our area and to what we want to have done and the rest of the county board. It's all decision-making by other layers of government that we've been trying to cooperate and trying to work with to get something in this community. And again, trails, connecting trails. What we have now, a lot of these are segmented. If we can connect trails to make these parks and green spaces much more viable, this is going to help tremendously. Again, not to get off it, but hopefully that the TIF money could be utilized, put in aside, because if you do TIF money, you have to match it. You have to match it with other money. So, again, by having that and keeping that as a reserve, you can do things. Like Alderman Solomon says, you buy land.
You buy land when it's reasonable. You don't buy it when it's high. And if you sit on the land, it always has its value. You can always get your money out of it if plans change. So I agree. Let's look at this. Hold it over for a couple of weeks. Bring it back again, and let's talk on it.
Madam Clerk, could you just read back the motion quickly?
Alderman Olson moved to table to the April 4th, 2011 Committee of the Whole meeting a resolution for the adoption of the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 for the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, and an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 for the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, seconded by
Alderman Skransky, you have the floor.
Could we have seen that it's not imperative that we have this done in 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Could we have this and put it off for the second meeting to give us a little more time? Because there's going to be plenty of questions. And to give the staff time, 2 weeks, you can gobble it up pretty quick. So could we have, and would the maker of the motion?
I think the motion actually does that.
To go 4 weeks?
Committee of the Whole.
Committee of the Whole.
Oh, okay. All right.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you.
Well, I think Alderman Wilhelm was first.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm wondering what that puts the date on, but I was wondering if the maker of the motion or in some way my comments can be addressed to get into there, because that motion doesn't really address what I had originally brought up, is that somehow I want some of the stuff to get fixed that are marked as corrections. And so is there some way you could amend your motion to accept the alder... to get their...
Alderman, you could make an amendment to the motion if you'd like.
Well, I was going to ask the maker of the motion if he would be willing to do that.
We've been through this, that if you want to make an amendment to the motion, it should stand on its... it's fine.
Okay.
You could just, I'm sure everybody will go along.
Okay, I'd like to make amendment to the motion that allows for Alderman to get their comments to staff, and so when it comes back... that those corrections are determined on if they are major or minor corrections.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded on the amendment. Any further discussion?
I do have one more.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm still has the floor.
I just want to say that I'm not afraid of having a park plan that makes suggestions, because we had one in place. The previous one had much of the same language, and no one was upset about that. It said the same things. It said the same things about needing these facilities. It said the same things about cost. We never did a lot with that. We spent a little bit of what we could, but having a plan doesn't mean we're spending the money, and that needs to be pretty clear. And I guess I agree that I just want everyone to know that Mr. Bartle's comments was the best one here about all these parks that we have, and we continue to do these smaller parks all over. And I just want to make sure that that's really what the community wants. Is that the vision of the community, or is that the vision that we think fits some kind of need? And all the 500 signatures here, or nearly that, sort of says that that's not the vision of the community. So maybe there needs to be a little bit more input on that. I don't know if this ever went out. I mean, I know there were public meetings, but I know how well those were advertised. But grants are on hold right now, so there is no big issue. And there might be some way to work with the county parks. If we can use the county parks, there's a whole chapter in here that says, this is a county park, and we don't have any authority over this. Another park, one after another, is named that way. And those are opportunities where we wouldn't have to buy land and could save us some money.
Okay. On the amendment, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify.
Discussion.
Alderman Solomon, on the amendment.
Staff will bring back a list of corrections on a separate sheet of paper prior to the Committee of the Whole meeting, so I can go over those corrections.
Identifying which are minor and which are major in our
yes.
opinion. Yes.
And what page and bullet point they're referring to. So I
could add that, where
yes.
those changes would
where go. Those changes are. Thank you.
On the amendment, Alderman Olson.
I'm not going to object to the amendment, but it's a lot like kissing your sister. It looks good on the outside, but it's meaningless on the inside. Let's try to get out of here before midnight.
I'm totally with you. Alderman Wilhelm has a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries on the main motion. Alderman Taylor.
Well, I think the mayor, you said something earlier, I think it needs to be repeated. You talked about two candidates for county exec. We need to do something, and maybe you can try to, I don't know, send a letter or try to get some sort of commitment on where they are at on this issue. Because there's no doubt that the county exec drives the agenda. And Alderman Skronsky talked about how long it takes the county to approve anything. And I can tell you that finally, after over 2 years, we received a letter from Mark Borkowski stating that the parking lot at the sports complex will be paved in April. Now, for over 2 years, I've been, and it was actually former Alderman Ryan that brought that to my attention, and we had two meetings, Mayor, I believe, at least three with the Sue Black and the city attorney. We had a corp counsel. Over 2 years, you can look at your watch all you want, Alderman Olson, that's fine. But over 2 years, so I think we need to try to get them to go on the record. If you can put something together, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. All right, on the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Moving on to, item 2. Resolution determining necessity of the public acquisition of easement rights and interests in property and approving acquisition map for the location, extension, installation, maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities. Mr. Bennett?
Why don't you go to number 3 and we'll come back.
Okay. Turn the lights on. Mr. Bennett is trying to get up the GIS system. Concept review for senior living apartment building. Ms. Deedle.
Yes, we have representatives from the developer and the applicant to give a brief presentation and answer questions. This is a concept review for a senior apartment complex, Clare Meadows, PDD 22. And as a concept review, the city attorney will probably tell you as well, there is no action required. There should be no action taken. This is only to allow the applicant to present their project to get some initial feedback from the council.
Okay. So just as a reminder, concept reviews are basically looking for, from the council, a thumbs up, thumbs down, so neither the council nor the developers are wasting time on projects that council has no interest in.
Good evening. I'm Philip Schultz with Horizon Development in Clare Meadows at on 51st Street. I'm just here to introduce this development because I've been doing work with the sisters ever since they started developing their campus. And then Ellen Higgins, Joe Schwenker, and Mike Oates from Epstein Ewan Architects and the owners who will develop the land will give you their presentation. But I first wanted to just take a little time and kind of remind everyone what has really happened on this campus over time. The sisters, about 30 years ago now, purchased this small home on 51st Street. Their intent as a small group of religious nuns was to provide services to the poor and elderly in this part of the city. Over time, they were very fortunate to get donations, which allowed them to buy this land to the east of the original home. And about 18 years ago, they built a convent on the property. That's where the sisters now live. And then the caretaker for the property lives in the residence. And subsequent to that, they got another donation, which allowed them to buy this property behind what at that time was the Risky Business Bar on 51st Street.
We all remember that one.
Yes.
Keep remember it well.
A lot of stories around that bar.
Nice
yeah. It was a wonderful place. It was owned by one of the employees of the city. It was a great, great place. And then, unfortunately, when he sold it, it went down about as fast as a bar can go down, I guess.
This water can flow.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually part of the story when the sisters bought the Risky Business, you know. But anyhow, the sisters, actually, I was at that time, I was working for the Wheaton Franciscan Sisters, and they engaged us to do some planning for them to look at developing some affordable senior housing on the campus. And we did, and we determined that there was a need in this part of the Milwaukee metro area. And we're fortunate enough to obtain low-income housing tax credits to develop Clare Meadows 1. That's 135 units of independent senior apartments, so those are all private apartments, primarily set aside for people of lower income. So we have many, many seniors in the building who are very low income. There, I think of the 135 units, only 27 are actually market-rate senior apartments. That building has been very successful. It has a club room in it. It has a nice chapel in it where they have services, both Catholic and other religious denominational services on a regular basis. Then, about 8 years ago now, maybe nine, we again were fortunate to get low-income housing tax credits to develop Clare Meadows 2. Clare Meadows 2 is also an affordable senior apartment building. Again, it's independent apartments. There's no assisted living, per se, in these buildings. They're all independent apartments. And that is 100% affordable, and that has also been very successful. We then, as I mentioned earlier, got to a point where we really felt that we had to purchase the risky business after it got sold and became a real problem in the neighborhood. The police department had a big problem with it, and of course we did too, because it didn't really fit with the nonprofit mission of the sisters. And so we sort of went out on the limb because we had to purchase that as a going business. That was an operating bar, and so we had to pay a premium in order to purchase that property. The bar used to sit here, and we demolished the bar and came in with a plan to develop, again, senior-restricted, as everything on this campus is for seniors only. You have to be a senior to live here. Senior condominiums. We were successful in building this project that's called Francis Woods Senior Condos. It's 16 units of senior condominiums. And unfortunately, that building opened very shortly before the recession started. And it's been a very difficult building for us. 16 condominium units, we still have 8 of the units are unsold in that development. And so that's going back almost 5 years now. And so we realized that although our plan when we came in showed the two buildings on this property when we got the plan development amended the last time, that for the foreseeable future there was really not going to be a need for additional senior condominiums. The reason primarily for that is not that the seniors don't want to move, it's that they can't sell their homes at the price that they believe that they're worth. And so seniors are opting, if they own a home in some cases, to remain in their homes. We have realized that there is a really pressing need for additional affordable senior housing on the campus. We have seniors, especially in Clare Meadows 1, which is now 14 years old, who moved in when the building was new. The average age at move-in at Clare Meadows was in the mid-70s, about 75 years old. So you can imagine the seniors who moved in and are still there are now, you know, they're pressing 80 or they're over 80 years old. As a matter of fact, 2 years ago, we had 5 women in 1 year who turned 100 years old and were still living independently in Clare Meadows 1. The issue that creates as seniors age in place in a market rate unit or a unit that's at 60% of county median income is they have to spend more and more of their income on rent every month. And so we have many seniors in Clare Meadows 1 especially who are just barely holding on by their teeth. In fact, we probably had, I believe, 15 seniors who had to move out of the building last year and left the Franklin community because they could no longer afford even the affordable housing we have at Clare Meadows. So it's a real pressing need. That need is only going to grow. You know, the statistics are pretty clear that a large percentage of the baby boomers, my generation, unfortunately, have not saved an adequate enough money for their retirement. So even though they may be living in a home in the community now, they may not have sufficient funds if you look at the prospect of living to be 90 or 100 years old. So hence, we started looking around, and we're very fortunate to find Common Bond, Ellen Higgins Group, and their team to help move forward, and as opposed to what we were looking at of additional condominiums on that site, putting additional senior housing on the campus, again, maintaining the mission.
Do you have any renderings of the building?
And I guess I think when I
met with you, the obviously the word apartment came up, but you clearly said, well, you know, the we already have Clare Meadows Apartments, and it's worked fine in that area. One of my comments was it looks. I mean, your facilities there now are terrific. Get nothing but compliments about them. I think everything looks great, except probably would like to see a little bit more brick on it. And if it went to the plan commission, I guarantee you that someone I won't mention his name, but might bring up the word brick. I also have to say that the Sisters of Clare Meadows have been wonderful to have them in the community. Somebody was bringing up empty shops before. When I talked to the developers and the realtors, what they're saying is what they need is more rooftops, and they need more people to go in those facilities. So, Alderman Wilhelm, this is in your area. So.
Just to let the Alderman know that I did knock on a lot of doors over there and let the people know. Many of them were aware that this was a previously approved PDD building. So they weren't surprised by it. I just had one neighbor that was concerned about drainage, and the layout for this will actually help with that drainage problem instead of making it worse. And they've talked to me about maintaining the buffer between this building and the other one, which has a small wetland in it, and to talk about increasing the color and variety in that area just a little bit by adding a couple plants. So that seems to be a positive. I think it fits well with what is there, and certainly there will be some jobs just from the building of the building alone. There will be electric, plumbing, contractors that will be hired, and so there will be jobs created putting the building in. So I guess I'm in favor of the project. I would encourage the rest of the council members to speak their mind and let them know before they put any more funding and time into this, because, as you know, their designs and things cost them money, and they need sort of a nod tonight before they continue on.
Alderman Olson, and then somebody else had their hand up. Alderman Skransky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Common Bond will be the owner and operator?
Yes, Alderman.
Okay, thank you. Sister Celine still with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And okay. Sister Pat.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say something. Don't tell Sister Celine, because she'll come in anyway. Here's my issue. Today, the governor introduced his next budget. It's going to have an adverse impact on the Franklin taxpayers. This development has been wonderful for the community, but it's also been one of our prime customers for our fire service. It's just the way it is. And as I say this, understand, I have about 1,100 seniors in my district. So I'm all in favor of finding affordable housing. My issue with this is that it will not provide an income for the city that would compensate us for the services that we'll provide. Take that as a statement. Do whatever you want with it. But it's very important to me and the taxpayers, especially in light of what's happened today. I don't have any problems at all with the building.
Alderman Skransky?
I met with the people involved here, and I'm in favor of what it is. It serves a purpose. It's very architecturally designed, right? I did express to them about a little more masonry brick on the building in some of the areas, so they're well aware of my comments before they even hit the plan commission. And I think it's really great that property is available for the generations that are needing it. And Steve, don't look at me. I'm still.
You're still independent, right?
Yeah, still independent, sure. So I think it's a very good project, and it's going to blend into the campus very well, and it's going to serve the needs of their present residents that are looking for this additional type housing. So I'm in favor of it. It's nice, and let's spruce it up with a little more brick, and we can go over that later. You did a good job.
Alderman Solomon?
Just to follow up on Alderman Olson's previous comments, are you a for-profit company?
No, we Common Bond Communities is a nonprofit organization that actually, it's a little unusual. It is a nonprofit real estate company that specializes in the development of affordable housing for seniors and families, depending on the needs of the community. But it is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that can accept donations from corporations and foundations, which is what we do, in order to provide services to our residents. And then the development company is a taxable nonprofit corporation called Common Bond Housing that actually does the development and then manages and maintains all the housing for our communities. And we have 100 communities in 50 cities and municipalities in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. So we are mission-driven. We share the same mission as the sisters do with respect to seniors, which is keeping them healthy, happy, and independent and in their homes for as long as possible, because that ultimately saves the community money in that they don't have to go to nursing homes or be on welfare systems. So we are looking forward to collaborating with the sisters on a number of service programs, not only for this new housing, but for the rest of the housing on the campus.
If I could also mention, too, that both Clare Meadows won the 135-unit building, Clare Meadows 2, the 40-unit building, and Francis Woods condominiums are all fully taxable. So those buildings are paying full taxes. And so although this would be the one building which would serve this group of seniors that I was talking about that may be at such a low income level because they're so elderly and frail that they simply can't afford to live in a situation where there are taxes. It's a fairly small percentage of the units on the campus. The rest of that under the zoning has to remain taxable, so that continues to pay taxes. And of course, we're not generating kids. In some cases, you want kids, but there are no children going into the schools. And I think if you would really talk to the EMTs, one thing that they really appreciate about these new buildings is that they're fully sprinklered. They're extremely safe, handrails in the hallways, 4,500-pound elevators that you can put a stretcher straight into and no tipping a stretcher up. You'd find that the EMTs would say, yes, we understand we have calls there, but, boy, this is the type of building that I want to go to do a call to a senior as opposed to trying to get somebody out of a basement in a single-family home.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Skransky. And I guess I just remind the council that we do have other people waiting on other issues here. Those chairs are pretty hard.
Well, I guess I'd asked for feedback so they know we can move forward. And so far, we've got a couple positives, but we really haven't given them what they need. So maybe if we could move forward to that point, then we could move forward to the next agenda item. But I do want to say that, remind the people up here that there is a CVS pharmacy just down the road that needs support. Seniors depend on their medicines. And there also is a shopping center there, and they will be shopping and buying food. So they will be supporting the community in those ways as well. So it's not, there's other ways to look at this than, one particular tax issue or whatever. And this was, if I remind you, a PDD that was pre-approved a long time ago. The only thing we're looking at now is, instead of condos, which the market is flooded with condos, doing something that the market can afford and maybe spurring a little bit of a development. So when we see some development actually happening, that's a good thing for our community. And we should look at it as a positive thing in that sense. So I guess I'll leave it up to the rest of them so they can get an answer, because their time is money too.
Alderman Skransky and Alderman Olson.
Just the question, you have the financial funding for this project ready to go?
Yes, we have. We have it all arranged.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have as far as I'm concerned. It's fine. Let's go.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I already said I don't have an issue with the building, but consider another question. Mr. Mayor, I want to make a motion that henceforth all development reviews be conducted at Committee of the Whole as a matter of courtesy for the applicants and the Common Council.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
The movement seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I guess I would just ask the council, is there anyone that has strong objections to this proposal?
No.
And if they met everything, was that probably would be one of those acceptable projects?
Okay.
Mr. City Attorney.
Maybe I missed it, but the point-blank question is the property itself subject to a tax exemption provision in the statutes? I know the development company is not for profit. Is this a tax-exempt project?
It would be.
Okay.
All right. Does that give you an understanding of where the council is? Thank you very much for coming
in.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you can say hello to Sister Celine and Sister Kathy.
And don't tell her what I said.
Don't mention Alderman Olson.
She'll be yelling at me.
All right.